So I think I hope I can fulfill the promise that was made here, that can be to react with the spring word, I guess. But so yes, about a week ago, I basically was finished with my presentation about React, about the how React, about the why of React, about the structure of React, how it was created. And then I realized that that was totally not what I wanted to talk about, because React itself can be sometimes really painful and really annoying. So I switched the topic slightly, and now I'm talking about the React ecosystem, which is everything web development, everything modern web development, at least. So,
in a sense, we're still reacting to UI complexity, but not only with React, but with the entire ecosystem that React kind of introduced or that is capable or like exists around React. So this could be something like that, for example. So let's start with the early times of web development. So basically just plain HTML and JavaScript. And let's picture a website with just a simple button. And whenever you press that button, a value goes up by one. You now want to display that value in three different ways. For example, just in a box, for example, as the value, in a progress bar, so the progress bar would go up when you press the button. And also, you want to have a checkbox that whenever the value is even, you want the checkbox to be checked. In old times, so to speak, in plain JavaScript, you would define those elements, and each of those elements has some kind of content, and that content is the state. So the state exists three times in this case. And now if you want to add the interactivity with traditional JavaScript, you would use a so-called event handler. You write a function that basically listens to whenever the button is pressed. And when the button is pressed, you update the value in all three elements. For that, you need to know a lot of things about those elements. For example, you need to know that it is text content that you need to set. Or in the case of the checkbox, you even have to know that kind of like what type of implementation that you need a Boolean now and all that stuff. And that makes it really complicated, and sometimes, or basically always, that is the issue with modern UI, that your feature creep kind of explodes, and with that, your complexity, your UI complexity completely goes haywire. So yes, UI complexity grows faster than feature count. And I think that is still the case, but React definitely made that a lot easier. This concept is called imperative UI. So basically, you tell the computer what to do, when to do it. When X happens, you do Y. When the button is pressed, you update those values. And that often means that you have the state and you maintain the state in multiple locations, as we've just seen in multiple elements. Now comes declarative UI, and I think that's also present in a lot of UI development in other programming languages. I think Dart is also declarative. And I think as far as what I've seen from app development from Marcel, that is also a lot of declarative UI. So what's the difference? You basically now describe what should the UI look like for a given state. So you now have a single source of truth and whatnot, like it comes with all those great features. And yes, you now only define the how and no longer the when or where or how or whatnot. It's a lot easier. Let's look at the example we had before. Now, you start exactly with the same elements, basically, and you introduce a single state that holds the ground truth of that value. And inside of your components, you now reference that value. You no longer have to update those values. You just reference them. So before you had those values, for example, in the span, it said 5, literally, and now it just says value. It references that value, essentially. And also your logic resides inside of those elements. For example, the checkbox now itself knows how to display any given value, so the checkbox is checked when the value is even. And now the true magical part is React does the rest. So whenever you update your value, all your components just work. And I just used the word component. Let's look at what components really do. Like, because components are no longer just HTML elements, they kind of have a little bit more functionality. They come with their own state and their own props. So you can basically think of them as a kind of function. So they can even receive values from outside as props. And even that, React manages completely automatically. So whenever your input value changes, your component automatically changes and changes its internal values and whatnot. It makes life really easy compared to all the complicated you trigger something now mechanic we had before in plain JavaScript. Those components are also highly reusable. So whenever, because it is completely self-contained, in the best case, even the styling is part of the component, it means that you can just copy-paste, or you don't even have to copy-paste, you literally just have to reuse that component. It is even easier than reusing HTML components, so to speak, or HTML code. For a mental model, you would now say that you have kind of a component tree that the renderer, or like your browser or React, so to speak, traverses. So you can have components inside of components. That is what I mean by kind of a component giving another component certain information. That is happening when you nest components. And also, I think a lot of you will have heard that phrase before, that composition goes over inheritance. And that is very much the case for those components. Now let's look at those components. As an example, this is a website I created, and these are the components, the reusable components. For example, you can see, I think my favorite example from here is the section in the bottom, the footer. And inside the footer, you have buttons that basically behave differently, but look the same. So you reuse the visual design, but you also reuse the function. So inside of those buttons, you know, for example, that the contact and legal link will direct you to an internal website, for example, /legal, whereas the Instagram and GitHub page will route you to a different website entirely. Now to the juicy part, in my opinion, the ecosystem that React comes with, or that is supported by React. Let's start with the non-visual, which in my opinion is the less exciting part, but let's go for maintainability. You can use React with plain JavaScript, but that is, especially if your project grows larger, not really preferred because you want to have type safety. React fully supports TypeScript, and it's difficult to say React supports that because your entire ecosystem, or like your entire tech stack, has to support that, but still it's supported with React. You also have byte tests, which is a testing suite, I guess it needs to exist for big corpora. Now for the state management. This becomes extremely crucial once you have a larger app and kind of a global state. So if it's no longer a question of handing that one information from one component to another, but like imagine you log in as a user, this user information should be accessible throughout your entire app, and for that you want state management. There are a bunch of libraries. There's TensorFlow Query, there's Redux, and there's also a library called Zustand, for example. So you have plenty of choices. I don't really have an opinion all too much about those. I really like TensorFlow Query, but I don't know. And now for the juicy part, the export. React is natively built for web development, so you can obviously create a website with it. But you can also, as Marcel already mentioned, you can build it for native platforms like Android, iOS, or Windows using React Native, which is really neat because you can basically write one code and host it as a website and also as an app. Now for the juicy part, the design and all the capabilities that exist around that. First, you have some headless libraries, for example, DnDKit and Radix UI or Base UI now, that make your life just a little bit easier when it comes to creating your own components. You also have Tailwind CSS, and I do have an opinion, a very strong opinion about that. In my opinion, classical CSS no longer cuts it, especially for React, because in React, as I said earlier, you want a self-contained component, and that is only possible if you have everything in one file and in one place. And Tailwind enables just that. So basically, Tailwind, in comparison to CSS, I don't know, I don't want to go too deep into it, but it basically enables you to style a single component right there and then, and not kind of create classes and reference them via IDs and whatnot. If you've ever written HTML and CSS, you know what I mean. And now for the really, really juicy part, the UI components. Because now, as we just discussed, those components are highly reusable, which means there are people out there that already created components that you can freely, often freely, or sometimes after like a payment, use and reuse in your creations, which basically means that modern web development is no longer a matter of implementation, but rather composition. And lastly, when it comes to those kind of libraries, it is really crucial to say that they function extremely well with LLMs, and better if you use the MCP of those libraries. So basically, what I mean by that is when you ask ChatGPT to create a website and it styles, or it starts styling every single button potentially differently, it's a total nightmare to maintain and to kind of salvage afterwards. But if you use components and component libraries, that makes your life a lot easier because there's just one button and it can just say, yeah, that's a button. Now, here are some examples. This is ChatCN. I also have a strong opinion about that. I really like ChatCN UI. Those are just a couple of components. They basically focus on form components and visual displays of like interactive, I should say, interactive information. This is Recharts. I really like Recharts. It's also built into ChatCN UI whenever you want to display information graphically. And lastly, this is React Flow. So whenever you have kind of like a pipeline system or you have certain steps the user has to go through and you want to visualize that, React Flow. And there are tons and tons and tons more component libraries, more components. Everything's like basically it updates daily. I can highly recommend just checking that out and Googling for whatever you need. It probably already exists as a component somewhere. So now if you have any ideas or questions, feel free to ask. If there's no time today or if you come up with any ideas or questions later, you can reach me via email. And if you want to get started right away, obviously after the next two talks, you can scan the QR code or check out the Git repository I created. So it basically gives you a starting point with my personal tech stack preferences, and you can go from there and start your or start creating your own first website or app. Yes, that's it.
Vielen Dank dafür. Gibt es Fragen?
Hi, ich bin Ivan Rachel. I have a question, and we get sometimes says the roof, sagt man im Englischen, that the, for example, if you want to develop a React application for Windows, that the UI is kind of slow, or at least not as resource efficient as what I mean. Is that just because people don't use it right? Or I think like one of the latest occurrences is like the Windows 11 taskbar that is apparently the really native UI thing. It takes the same amount of resources. Is that because people don't use it right, or is it actually possible to do it properly?
I think that is mainly because I think what you're referring to is Electron apps. So basically, it's a website containered and bundled with a fully fledged browser almost. It uses Chromium. And that is obviously very inefficient, especially because you cannot share that Chromium instance. So whenever you start a new program, I think VS Code is based on that. So whenever you start that and you start another VS Code instance, or you start, I don't know, some other app that uses Chromium, you have two different instances. And when it comes to the React Native development, I think then it might be the compatibility layer that Marcel already mentioned. That is especially true for Windows. And I think Linux doesn't even have real support or like official support for React or React Native. But I think it's a lot better on Android and iOS because it's primarily supported. I think the best choice you always have with React is building a website and routing people to that, especially because nowadays browsers can do a lot of things and a lot of heavy lifting, so you don't really need an application anymore, really, like for some specific cases, I guess, but yes, that answers the question.
More questions?
Oh. Perfect, thank you.